Good evening, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sean. I've been leading the youth ministry here since the summer, so there are some lovely people in here for who I'm now apparently officially responsible for, and they're lovely. For me, the topic tonight has always been something at my previous church that was done by someone important. It was always the rector or the associate minister, but Nico's on holiday, so you've got me. And I'm going to talk tonight about giving, and for me this is quite daunting because it has always been that area that's slightly out of reach of your commonplace staff member, because it's something that affects the entire church. Actually, how this church gives totally helps to shape how this church moves going forward. So I'm going to try and unpack it. This sermon is all part of our teaching series on culture, and it matches up with our vision. So those of you who were here last week will have seen either myself or Richard talking about what we call our Vision 2020, which talks about the Pathways Project. This flow of looking at whether whatever we do as a church, is it connecting, is it gathering, is it growing, or is it serving, or is it doing a combination of those things? And using that as a kind of lens to look at everything we do and go, is this good? Is it fruitful? What's the next step for someone? As well as our core values, our worship, our teaching, our prayer, our mission, our discipleship, our diversity, and our relationships. So this Sunday, after hearing the vision last week, is where we as a church team, and in fact as the whole church community, turn around to each other and invite each other to get involved, to get on board with this vision, to get on board with this strategy, and to start to think about what it might mean to be generous and to give. For those of you who might not pick one up, because, you know, you're the six and you don't pick up paper, this is this leaflet, A Giving to Grow God's Kingdom. This has a bit of an update on our financial situation as a church. It has some numbers in it. You can get it online, sgsgashtead.com/giving, for those who want to download it now. If you want to get it up on your phones, look at it. Otherwise, there are copies down by the sides that you can gather on your way out. But I want to pick up a couple of details from it that you might have seen in the leaflet. Richard says in his notice on the first page of this leaflet, we are currently the 14th largest Church of England church in the country. That was a bit slower. It's not pantomime season yet. The 14th biggest, just let that, we are the 14th biggest Church of England church in the country. Like, that, it should be a woo. Like, that's good. God is doing good things. I mean, considering we're a parish of 14,000 people, like, Ashton is small, and we are the 14th biggest Church of England church in the country. So that should be a woo. But that should also feel a bit of a weight of responsibility on us. We are the 14th biggest Church of England church in the country. That means there are only 13 churches in the country that are bigger than us, that are Church of England churches. What you'll also see, I picked up another couple of things. I met with the National Youth Evangelism Officer, or a combination of those words, for the Church of England on Thursday. And he told me we are the 24th biggest church in the country for people who are 0 to 16. And I shared an amplified version of this stat this morning, that 72% of people in churches, when this was surveyed in 2012, came to faith when they were in their 0 to 20s. So we are the 24th biggest group for 0 to 16s, and 72% of people come to faith who are currently in church before you're 20 years old. So if that suggests some direction on, I'm always going to be biased, I'm a youth worker, but if that suggests some direction about actually how the importance of continuing to gather and grow as a church, as laid out in the vision, that is so important, because if we don't keep investing as a church, there will be no church. So, a key element of the passage we're looking at tonight, if you want to get it up, either it's on the Bibles, if you get it open on the phone, it's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. And if you want to get this up, because I'm going to refer to little bits of it, the whole chapters of 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9 are a little bit about money. Paul, as he writes this letter to the Corinthians, doesn't reference it exactly, but a key element of what Paul did, who wrote this book, was, I mean, he's not known for this massively, But it was his job to collect the money. You know, there's always that, there's one person's job to collect the money. In our case, it's done electronically, and we occasionally get a letter from Mole Valley Council saying money's been taken. That's our equivalent. Or for those of you who might earn some pocket money or have a job, it's that kind of direct debit that goes out once a month to your parents to pay for your upkeep. Parents, make a note, that one's free. So even in the days of the early church, they had someone whose responsibility was to look after the money, to gather it all together, and to think about how to spend it responsibly, which is what we do as a church now. And as we look, it's worth writing this letter to the Corinthians is the early church, so about 50 AD, about 50 years after Christ was born. And so as we read through this, I'm going to pick up little parts and dive into little bits as we go through. But like I said, Paul doesn't actually use the word money in his writings. I really hope it's not in the translation you have. I'm just double checking. He doesn't. He doesn't use the word money in this translation. So although the teaching is about it, instead Paul uses lots of words like seeds and harvest and generosity or service. All English translations of a single Greek word, charis, which means grace. So bear that in mind as we look through. I want to start at verse 6, which says this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If I was to ask you, as a church right now, how much should you give to the church, what would you shout back to me? 10%! Brilliant. Okay, so you've all been listening. 10%. Let's for a moment chuck that idea out the window. But bear with me. The 10% figure is a helpful thing, and it comes from the whole idea of tithing. Tithing of 10%, of giving 10% of what you're first given. But this verse says something different. Because if we all tried to stick to giving 10% of what we earn away, for some of us, that might become a rule. It might become reluctant. You might feel compulsed or encouraged by me standing here to say, hey, you should give 10% of everything you earn before tax to the church. And you might go, Sean, I don't want to do that. So that's why it's important for a moment. Let's park that 10% idea and let's focus on giving not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but what we've decided in our heart to give. Because God loves someone who gives cheerfully. And I think that's a good thing. So you'll see, if you pick this up or read it online later, that our planned giving every year as a church is £520,000. Big figure? Small figure? I'd say it's quite a lot. However, the aim of this is we want to increase the income for the church so that we can do greater things for God. And the planned increase is an increase of 10%, so that's £52,000, quick maths. Let's say there are 100 people here. There are more than 100 people, but let's say 100 people. And let's say, again, rounding, averaging, half of you work. Because some of you are young people, some of you don't have jobs. Let's also say we know that roughly a third of the church already give. So if we do all those sums, that means there are about 17 people here who don't give but could. That's a massive round down because I know there are more. Let's say for an example that those 17 people in this room right now all work full time for the minimum wage. Okay, minimum wage, that's, I don't know what it is annually, but it's £8.51 an hour. It's not much. And if they all gave not 10%, but 5% of their salary to the church, we would see right now an increase in giving of £17,000. If just a small percentage of this room worked the minimum wage and gave half of that 10% to the church, we'd be well on our way to reaching what this church wants to achieve. Now, let's be a little bit honest for a second that we live in Ashted, and let's suggest that people could be more generous than that. Imagine that people gave more than 5%. Imagine if people earned more than the minimum wage here in Ashted. You suddenly see how what we want to achieve as a church could be well within reach. And I don't need to sit here condemned going, oh, but Sean, I don't give to the church. I'm sorry, I haven't done it. That's not the point. It's taken me ages in my life to get kind of what I think about giving correct, and I'm not there yet. But this is just some food for thought. I read, thankfully, a BBC report recently about how the average person, get this, spends £70.69 on a night out. £70.69 on a night out. That could be cinema, could be restaurants, could be bars. If you're going really wild, you might go to a club or something else. Those aged 18 to 30, you guys go out the most, apparently. Who'd have thought it? 73% of 18 to 30-year-olds go out once a week. However, for those of you over 30, your average spend is, in fact, higher. If you're 31 to 45, you spend, on average, £76.60 per night out. Now, I've been a student, and I know how easy it is to both have money and have none, and where you really value the nights of the week where there are drinks on offer for a pound. So I know that sometimes we scrape the barrel, but that shows that, you know, and again, we're living in an affluent area, that people can spend, on average, £70 on a night out. And let's say on average they go out twice a month. Straight away, you can see how very quickly that could add up to a lot of money. The thing is, here in Ashton, we have all been blessed. Whether you're sitting in a beautiful, beautiful house at home, or whether you're someone in this room tonight who is flat sharing, or maybe you're struggling to make ends meet, regardless of that, we're probably still in the top 1% richest people on the planet. That number that's batted around quite a lot by people my age, millennials, we go, oh yes, it's the 1%, it's their fault. And then you go, oh wait, that's us. We are the richest people on the planet. So let's look at the next verse in this passage. Verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I preferred a slightly different translation, the New Living Translation. Phrases that last bit as, you will have plenty left to share. Now, I come from a middle-class family, I'm happy to admit that, but we've never been the wealthiest in my family. You know, my dad always having to put in extra shifts to make ends meet, so I've known at times in my life what it's like to maybe be on little on the low end of what we've had as a family. But I've never had to go to a food bank, but yet thousands and thousands of people use them in Epsom just down the road and in Leatherhead every month. But God has blessed us abundantly and given us something to share. You know what, guys? You'll be glad to hear it. It's not a bad thing to have money. God doesn't hate rich people. Okay? We are all rich. We are all rich people. And God loves us. It's okay to have wealth. It's okay to have money. Sometimes we condemn those who do. We look down on them because people do have a lot of money. But God says this, you know what? I've given you wealth so that there's plenty left to share. Like, what an amazing thing that is. And that verse also says that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Whether you've been a student or whether you've come from a difficult background, maybe you're a third generation when actually three generations ago, life was really tough. You're all here today because at some point and every point in your life, God has given you all that you need. Even when it's been a little bit impossible to see the road ahead, whether that's financially or other things in your life, God has always given you everything you need. And so he has given us plenty left to share. So when we're thinking about how we can be generous, about how we can give, we have to bear that in mind. Sometimes we have to give in a way that's sacrificial. That means actually deciding to share before we know we've got it to share. Because that's what God calls us to do. And so as we finish looking at this passage, verse 11 says this. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Generosity is relative. If we all gave 10% of what we owned or earned, that would be a very different amount for, say, an 18-year-old working minimum wage for 8 hours a week. That would be about £150 a month. I like numbers, sorry, maths. So if you earn £150 a month, 18-year-old minimum wage, let's say you could give 10% away, that's 15 quid, leaving you with £135 left to spare, which, you know what, that's quite a lot of money if you're still living under your parents' roof. That's a lot of clothes, or two items, depending on where you shop, or it's a lot of makeup, guys, you know who you are, or it's a lot of trips to the cinema. It's a lot of trips to Creams in Epsom, where you only leave with regret after eating too much cookie dough. However, take a student. I see a couple of you. Say you're lucky enough to work two shifts a week at minimum wage. The minimum wage is a bit higher for you. That's £500 a month, that is. And if you gave 10% of that, that would be 50 quid. And it would leave you with 450 quid left to spare. Now, when you're a student, you're probably going to look at that 500 quid and go, I really need that because that's going to just about cover my rent for the month. It's different for people in different situations. So then let's bump it up to an adult on the average wage for the Southeast. Rather than being £150 or £500 a month, the average wage for the Southeast is about £2,700 a month. Depending on whether or not you have a mortgage and how many people you're supporting in your household, your actual disposable income, the money you have left to spare, can vary massively. That's why I say forget the 10%. You look at Jesus in the story as he watched at the temple people giving. There was the widow who gave two copper coins. And there was the rich, sorry, that's us, chucking in a whole load of silver. Jesus pointed to the widow and said, look how generous that person is. Like, he highlights her as the person who is giving so much. Because relative to what she had, it was way more than she could ever give. Now, whether you like it or not, I don't have an ulterior motive standing up here suggesting that you should give to the church. I know I work for the church, and this church pays my salary. But I'm not going to get a bonus or a pay rise as a result of how well I do today. Richard? No. But it will massively impact what we do as a church. 10% of the money we always raise goes to mission, locally and overseas, to support people who are vulnerable, poor, and in need. That's part of what this church has decided to do as it gives. It supports all the little projects that run often hidden. It's the money to support the refugee project that has helped to settle a family into the area. It's the money to help equip this building as a space that we can use not just for our Sunday gatherings, but safely throughout the week, to make it a safe place that complies with the pages and pages of legislation required for modern day operation. That makes us a place where we can bless other churches who, you know what, aren't as big as us, who aren't as well off as us. That we can support our neighbours down the road in Oxshott, Cobham. That we can do outreach into schools, into prisons. That's what our giving does. It doesn't pay my wages. A little bit does. A lot of it goes to the diocese, actually. About £261,000 a year we give as a church to the Diocese of Guildford. Because we are a massive church, lots of churches cannot support themselves as well. So we go to equip those churches. And that money goes into a big pot that helps pay for the clergy. So that pot pays for Richard to be here with us. But it also helps to pay for other clergy in different churches because, you know what, there are lots of people living in rural communities who can't travel on a Sunday. Actually, they rely on the little village church, where if you think that if we need £500,000 a year in giving to keep going, a small village church can't afford that. So we go to support that. So what I want to encourage you to do is, giving's never a nice thing to think about. And I've spent ages wrestling with this because, I mean, so honestly, I work for the church. So in my head, I've always wrestled with the idea of, well, hang on, if I give back to the church, does that make sense? You know, does the church are paying me? Should I then give it back again? Should I just refuse a pay rise? How does that work with me? So actually, how lots of my giving works out in my life is I look at other places I can support. So I support Christians Against Poverty, for example, a charity that helps bring people out of debt from a Christian perspective. I help support Hope for Malawi, a Christian charity that resources people in Africa. That's how I've decided to use my giving. And Sarah and I, up until we moved here, we also help support her church. And honestly, as we've just moved here, we're trying to work out what our giving looks like to this parish. How do we give? I don't know yet. I'm trying to figure that out. And so what I want to encourage you guys to do is to think the same. There's nothing too small or too big either. So I am talking to all of you, whether you've got a salary or not, we can all give financially to the church. Yes, we serve. Yes, we work hard to make this place the place it is. But we can all give to the church. Maybe think about it compared to your probably extortionate mobile phone contract or the holiday that I've just booked. You know, how does our giving, if we give that much to help ourselves and to help ourselves in our daily lives with our phones, with our going out, with our holidays, with our cars, how much of that should we set aside to give to God's work, to God's kingdom, to building here in Ashted his church? And sometimes when money gets tough, and we know what it's like, life ebbs and flows, and particularly in the world we live in today, and particularly in Ashted, in wealthy areas, all it can take sometimes is someone to lose their job when suddenly your life is put into jeopardy because you can't pay the mortgage. Jesus calls us to put our trust in him, not on our money. So even when we don't know where the next pay packet is coming from, we are called to trust in him. Being a giver is about being generous. It's about being generous for the right reason. It's not just always being that person who goes down to the pub after this and buys everyone a round of drinks. Well, I'll always appreciate that. Sometimes that's, you know, the way we are generous to others is less about our giving and more a little bit about showing that we've got. Our generosity should always result in thanksgiving to God. That's what this verse says. So we shouldn't give because we feel like we have to. We shouldn't give because we think it will impress someone else. We shouldn't give because we think it will impress the staff, the clergy, that suddenly you'll be in top favour with Richard and Nico because you give. Because you know what? They don't know who gives. All the giving is done privately and secretly with the finance team. Because our aim should be that when we're generous, that God gets the glory. And everything that is given to this church is put to that purpose. I know myself and all the other staff who work in the office, we do our best to make sure that not a penny goes to waste. We will make sure we use our resources incredibly wisely, that money's not spent flippantly or on vanity projects. We make sure we make the best of what we've got. So, in response tonight, I want to quickly show you a video, first of all. We prepared this little snapshot of what our community is like. Because it might be that you've only ever come to the Six if you're new to us, or you've only ever been here to St. George's. There we go. So I'm really excited to have moved to a church that does so much, that is so diverse and does so many wonderful things. So what we're asking you to do tonight, if you want to, if you can, please pick up this on your way out, or you can go online and download it. It's sgsgashted.com/giving. Or if you want to find out more about what it is to give, you can email donations@ashtedparish.org. What we want to ask everyone to do, if you pick this up or if you download it, inside here, there's another little thing which says your response form. We'd love everyone to fill it in. Because there are a couple of options. Some say, yes, I want to start giving financially, or I already give. One just says, I will pray for what we're doing together. And if that's the least you can do, that's what we ask. If you don't feel like you can give financially, then that's okay. But what we want to know is where everyone's at, what you're feeling, and how you're going to respond. What I'd like you to do, if you have a smartphone, can you take it out your pockets, please? Yes, it's okay to have your phone in church. And one thing that we like to do, because we're Church of England, is sometimes we use liturgy. So I've written a piece of liturgy to help us remember to return our forms next Sunday. Okay, it's quite simple, and it will work best if you've got a smartphone. In a second, what you're going to do is say the following. Okay, there we go. There's the liturgy. If you're ready, you're going to say to your phone, or if you don't have either Siri or Google or Bixby, if you're a Samsung user, open, then open your phone to the reminders part or the calendar. Go to 5 p.m. next Sunday and put a reminder in. So perhaps if we can all together, I don't know how well phones cope with this, but I'm going to try it with mine. Okay, so after three, obviously say the smart assistant that is relative to you. If you're Apple, it's Siri. Okay, I don't know how this is going to work. Right, three, two, one, go. That didn't work. Just put it in your... Yeah, well done. Put it in your calendar for next week at 5 p.m. We're not asking you to come back next week with a wadge of cash, okay? If you want to, that's great. But what we want to do is know what your response to tonight is. We just want to know what you're thinking about, what it means to give to the church, about where you're at with what you can give, and what the next steps to do. The reason we're asking this is it helps us plan for the future. Weirdly enough, stuff doesn't just happen on a whim here. We don't turn up on a Sunday and decide what to do, but we plan, and we need to be strategic. So our vision is 2023. We are planning for the next 3 years. Financially, we're looking further. We want to know when we can do repairs. The roof at St. Giles looks like it's not in too good a shape. We need to repair that at some point. We want to bring some of the things behind there up to shape, spruce them up, make them look a bit better. We want to reinvest in our lighting in here so that we're no longer using old bulbs that burn through electricity. So much we want to do, but we can only do it if we know what we're going to receive financially. Lots of it we do through prayer. We take steps like the new operations leader, the new young families outreach worker. Lots of that is done in faith, and we're hoping we'll get the funds in for those. We want to continue what God is doing here in Ashted, across the entire church, across the entire parish. So when we just respond in worship together, can I ask you, if you can, to stand? And God, you know that money is sometimes a bit of a taboo subject in our lives, and we probably don't know what the person standing next to us gives, how they deal with their money. But Lord, in us tonight, in us this week, may you start to ask that question of us, of how we use our money, how we can give to support your work, whether that is here or whether that's elsewhere. Lord, help us to take this really seriously. But Lord, help us to never give out of compulsion or because we feel we have to. But God, help us to be generous in a cheerful way, in a way that brings glory to you. And God, I pray over every response across all the services, Lord, that you will receive that. You receive all the money already given, and all the money that will be given in the future. And we pray that it is used for your glory, for your work. Amen.